Now may we turn to the Holy Scriptures. I want to read two portions from Scripture. Genesis chapter 22, first of all. First 8 verses. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, I am here. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both of them went together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And may we turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Mitre, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why, the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. It's a very interesting word that I want to talk to you about this morning. And it comes right away through the scripture. And we've read two references of it already. It's a very lovely Hebrew word. Hineni. Hineni. Here I am. In synagogue, worship starts on the right note. We don't start with singing. We start with the reciting of the Shema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one God. Blessed be his glorious name, whose kingdom is forever and ever. Have we become too familiar with God? What an insult to our blessed Redeemer to call him Jesus Christ Superstar. And these youth conferences actually have that. The Lord thy God is a jealous God. He's jealous of his name. And that's why, friend, this word is so interesting. Hineni, here I am. Because today we're living in an age of negotiations. Nothing can come or be achieved except through negotiation. Political, negotiating goes on with employers of labor. Nations negotiate. And that isn't a new thing. Abraham Lot negotiated with Abraham. Abraham negotiated with God over Sodom. And then you come to Jacob. And you see, Jacob not only negotiated, he wanted to make a bargain with God. So Jacob says to the Eternal, if God will do so and so, I will do so and so. But it's got to be on my terms. And that's contrary to God. God makes wonderful promises. All of us this morning know that the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. But it's not negotiable. The promise comes from God, not me to God. Isn't that the wonder of grace? Grace is God would, man would, not man would, God would. Prayer can become negotiable. But prayer isn't negotiating. Do I make a bargain with my children? Did I ever make a bargain with my wife? Yes, I did. Because when we got married, I told her, I've got to be away sometimes for a year. Do you want to marry me? And her reply was, the Lord comes first. I'm sick today of meeting young people. Even in the Lord's work, oh, I can't go away for that time. Can't you? Then you don't know God, do you? Oh, friend, you can't bargain with somebody you love. You take one, the one who loves you, gives to you. That's not negotiating. It's taking from God the wonder of his redeeming grace in Christ. Now this word hineni, I want to go through the scriptures very quickly. Some of us who are of Jewish birth are a bit long-winded. Paul was, because a young man fell out of the window, asleep, or on ground level. The word hineni, here's your first instance of the word hineni. And the Lord did test Abraham. Said unto Abraham, and Abraham says, hineni. Here I am. You've got to be very close in touch with God to say that. Sometimes, I hope I'm not being too blunt, sometimes God can catch us on the hop. But Abraham was so closely in touch with his God that immediately he heard the voice of God. He says, hineni. Here I am. And the news that God had to give him was not very appetizing. Take now your son and offer him up for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee. What would have been my response? Because go back into this, you've got to go into the context. What did the Lord God say to Abraham? You are going to be the father of the nations. Genesis 12, I'm going to make of you a great nation.
And in the course of time, you're going to have a son.
Oh, friend, we don't like waiting. None of us likes waiting. Abraham had to wait. So did Sarah.
And they had to wait and wait and wait.
And Abraham was well over 90 when Isaac was born.
Oh, Abraham's heart must have rejoiced. The son of the promise. All the promises of God to the nation came through Isaac, for in Isaac shall your seed be called.
I'm here, Lord. And now you want me to take the son of the promise and slay him. Did Abraham negotiate? Tell me that. Did he? I don't see it in my Bible.
I'm here, and I'm going to do, O Lord my God, what you tell me to do.
Take your son and do exactly what I've told you to do.
Through the Tanakh, by the way, I'm sorry if I quote these things. The Tanakh is the Old Testament writings. You'll notice in the Old Testament that burnt offerings always are associated with the process of redemption, atonement.
And so they go together. Wonderful story, this. You know, by the way, do you notice something here? So they went, both of them together. Notice that?
I don't like to hear the work of the cross as the work of Christ. It was the work of the Godhead. They went both together. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's the wonder of redeeming grace, that God was in Christ bringing back the world to himself. It was the fact of the Godhead that was involved in all the agony of Gethsemane and Calvary.
And in the lonely walk, Isaac rightly says, Father,
and what does Abraham say to Isaac? Hineni,
here I am, my son.
Father, look, the wood and the fire. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
Abraham, the man of faith. Oh, friend, don't negotiate.
Exercise faith. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do.
And when I read this wonderful story of Abraham's faith in his God, I still go back to thee, my son. God will provide himself for a lamb, for a burnt offering. Have you ever linked this with the New Testament scriptures? When John the Baptist first set eyes upon the Lord Jesus, what did he call him? Rabbi? Teacher? Master? No. The first reference John the Baptist ever made was when he answered the question of Isaac. Behold, the Lamb of God. The question in Genesis 22 was answered in John chapter 1. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lord's table this morning, we were thinking of that scripture. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Friend, God in his divine sovereignty may well ask you this question one day. Not in favorable circumstances. I'm here, Lord. Do with me as thou wilt. Our next reference is in Exodus. The angel of the Lord, chapter 3, appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe, Moses. And Moses said, Hineni, here I am. Again, you will notice that the circumstances were not favorable. Look at the background of this man. You know, we take these Old Testament men and women and we forget their background. Brought up in the court of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter, all the luxury of the court. Alongside the Pharaoh, highly educated, and now he's saying to his God, all that's past. I'm here. Now what is the bidding of the Almighty? He's so zealous that he kills an Egyptian and flees because his life is in danger. And it was at the burning bush that God called this man to be a leader for his people Israel. I am here. My friend, have you noticed that when God calls his servants, there's always a healthy reticence? I've been in meetings and I've heard young people, God bless them, I will do this, I will do that. No reticence. They're going to set the world on fire. What did Moses say? Did Moses say, oh, please, God, let me go round now telling people about this wonderful call? Lord, you picked the wrong man. I am not eloquent. You know, the rabbis teach us that Moses had a stammer. I don't know whether there's any truth in it or not. But instead of jumping at the call, he says to God, look, Lord, I am not eloquent, but I'm here. He hears the call, and he realizes that he is God's deliverer. I'm here. Not only does he plead lack of eloquence, but he says, Lord, to go to the Pharaoh, I know what the court of the Pharaoh is. Can somebody come alongside me? Will you allow Aaron to come with me? God is so gracious, friend. He's so compassionate towards us. And instead of telling Moses off, take Aaron. I always link that up. When I think of the years, the 60 years I've tried to serve the Lord, I am with you even unto the end of the age. There is no such thing as being alone from God.
That reticence, Gideon. Why pick on me? I'm the least in my father's house. Jeremiah, I'm a child.
Oh, friend, I've had to remind myself down through life that God can do a lot with a nobody, but very little with a somebody.
And it's because these people were no. Jeremiah, I'm a child.
Oh, friend, I've had to remind myself down through life that God can do a lot with a nobody, but very little with a somebody.
And it's because these people were nobodies that God could take them and use them and mold them into his own fashion. Because they were prepared to say, I am here. Hineni.
Hard life. If the Lord should call any of you young people into his service, it's not going to be easy. Was it easy for Moses? The years in the wilderness, the first 40 years learning to be a nobody. Then he goes and he leads the people. And Moses strikes the rock. What an arrogant people we were. He had no easy job to lead the people through the wilderness. They hankered for the garlic and the leeks of Egypt. Why have you brought us into the desert to die? Your pastor will tell you that no work for the Lord is going to be easy. But one with God is always the majority. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Hineni, says Moses. I'm here. And God took that man and called him the meekest of men. A man who knew his God. We turn to the prophets. And we go to that wonderful chapter in Isaiah chapter 6. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Hineni. Here I am. Send me. Abraham, Moses, and now this young prophet, Isaiah. You see, the world had crumbled round him. Look at how the chapter begins. In the year that King Uzziah died, there was a great bond between Isaiah and King Uzziah. And everything that he pinned his hopes on was gone. Isaiah was dead. And now he needed somebody to come in and make himself available. Who will go for us? Hineni, here am I. Send me. I love the prophet Isaiah. The first 39 chapters really show you what Isaiah was up against. Because God needed an uncompromising message from a prophet that was willing to always say, Hineni, I am here. His message in the first 39 chapters would be on the human failures of the people. Chapter 1. Already Isaiah has come face to face with the task. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand? Don't bring your vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. Go back to the temple for a moment. I'm here, but I've got to prepare myself. And so it was within the temple precincts that Isaiah began to see his own human failings. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. It was a daunting task that faced the prophet. Social injustice was on the go. Unbelief was on the go. The first thing Isaiah had to learn was, I saw the Lord. Dear friends, I was in Toronto for a month last year. Thank God I didn't come away with a blessing. Satan has faked. And I'll say that quite bluntly, having seen it. This nonsense about falling on your back. What a lot of blasphemous rubbish. My Bible tells me that when you see the majesty and the glory of God, you're on your face, not your back. Where was Dagon when he fell, the God of the Philistines? Not on his back, on his face, before the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when Isaiah saw the glory of God, he didn't dance a jig. He was on his face. The glory of the Lord he'd seen, and he was on his face, and he says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Oh, friend, Peter felt like this. For when he gazed into the eyes of the Messiah on the shores of Galilee, depart from me, O Lord, I'm an unclean man. The glory of the Lord is such, friend, that you see your own human failings and you see something, the live coal that can come from the altar and take away all that humanity that would ruin the message of God. I'm here, Lord. I'm here. When you go into history, how God used men like Isaiah, who when they saw the glory of God, saw the limits of their humanity and the wonder and the depth of God's compassion and grace. If the Lord ever calls you to do something, He'll take the live coal. He'll make you ready for the task that he's got for you to do. If you will only say, Hineni, here I am. My last reference to this word is not in the Old Testament scriptures, it's in the New. It's in Acts chapter 9. Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Hineni. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Again, you will notice the daunting task that was going to face this man. Oh, friend, some people like to hear God say, where are you? As long as the future's going to be bright, but it isn't always bright. It wasn't here. Ananias, I want you to go to a street called Straight, and I want you to go to a certain disciple, and I want you to go to Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor of the church, an enemy of the Messiah. Me go to him, O Lord, anything but that. But you cannot negotiate. You cannot negotiate. This must have been in the mind of this man of God, Ananias. He was the most dreaded man to all those who loved the Lord Jesus. Ananias, I want you to go to Saul of Tarsus, because I've got a mission for you to do there. What a transformation. You know, higher critics and modernists will tell you that really what happened to Paul on the Damascus Road was that he got a very bad attack of epilepsy. And there was a great preacher in London years ago, and he said, if Paul has epilepsy, then let's shout until the roof cracks with our singing, fly abroad, thou mighty epilepsy. Fly abroad, thou mighty gospel. Oh, how can a person doubt the wonder of redeeming grace when this bigot, this intolerant Jew, collapses on the Damascus Road? Not with epilepsy, but under deep conviction of sin. You know, friend, there's a lot wrong with some of the gospel preaching today. Come to Jesus. Everything's going to be very nice in the garden. You're going to be well off. This wretched, blasphemous prosperity gospel. Saul, for the first time in his life, saw the sinfulness of unbelief. He saw what a wretched man he was, and he was down on his face, not on his back. Conversion was almost too bewildering to believe. So really you have two men who said that. Because immediately Saul had that conviction of sin and knew he was a hell-deserving sinner apart from the redemptive grace of his Messiah. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm here, Lord. I am entirely at your disposal. But let's go to the house of Saul for a moment. This is a lovely episode. Lord, I've heard many of this man, how much evil has he done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And he's got authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said, go your way. He's a chosen vessel unto me. And Ananias, this is what I love. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he says, my brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way hath sent me that thou mightest receive sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful episode. Ananias didn't go and preach at him. He simply put his hands and says, you are my brother in the Lord Jesus. We're both Jewish, but now we're brethren in the Messiah. And Saul, you're going to have a name change. before very long, Saul's going to be a thing of the past. Paul is going to be in the future. Have you ever thought about this? How we take things for granted. What's your Christian name? They cut that out now. But the early church knew you by your name. Simon that was called Magus. Their name was changed by the revolution of the atoning work of Christ. They were known by their name. Thou shalt be called by a new name which the Lord shall call thee. And it was because Ananias was ready for the voice of God that he could go into the house of Ananias with that encouragement, that cheer. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at the Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. If you were to interview Paul, Paul never talked about himself. I determined to know nothing among men, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Just one more thought, I'm finished. Eclipsing them all was our most blessed Redeemer and Savior. He said, Hineni. He said it in a different form, didn't he? I must preach. The Son of Man must be lifted up. I must needs go through Samaria. I came to do the will of him that sent me while it's day, because the night comes when no man can work. Our most blessed Redeemer and Savior said to his Father, Hineni, I am here. Oh friend, can you look up into the face of the Father, into the face of the Son, into the face of the Holy Spirit, and say, Hineni.